Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's Boss Barrel Radio episode. Who knows? I am Griffin Hoffman, and with me is
Jeffrey Brewer.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm extremely tired, so this will be interesting. But no, actually, I was extremely tired all day, and in the intervening period when I was waiting for you to show up, I drank a beer, a single beer. So
it's
you know,
crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna be a little bit drunk, but no, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. I got a little bit of energy back, so I'm ready to talk about video games.
Okay, you should. You should have another beer, and then we should talk about NFP.
Griffin, there's one problem. It's my last beer.
No.
I've already exhausted my six beers for the year limit, so I'm done. There's no more. There's no more beer ever. Also, this was the stupidest beer ever because Jessica convinced me to buy this thing. She's like, Jeff, you should get this like root beer thing that's beer because everyone says it's really good. And I was like, that sounds really bad. And she was like, no, but it's really good. So I bought it, and it's literally just root beer with like a little bit of alcohol poured into it.
Yeah, which one did you get? Coney Island or not your father's?
Yeah, not your father's. And I was like, this sounds terrible, but I'll buy it. Why not? And it, lo and behold, it was basically just root beer with a little bit of alcohol poured in.
Yeah, it also gave me really bad stomach aches.
Well, hopefully that will occur during the podcast.
Yeah, are you saying I get really bad stomach aches from you drinking it?
Hopefully both of us will get bad stomach aches in one form or another.
Yes, well, bad stomach aches aside, we're here to talk about some video games.
This is a true fact.
Uh-huh. In our semi-monthly format.
I think we're keeping to like the 3.5 week cadence that we set for ourselves.
Yeah, just shy of a month.
Every fortnight, you know, the lunar phase arrives at the right place, and we realize we have to do a podcast, and then here we are.
Yeah, I subscribe to the magnetic pole shifting release date window.
You know, I found that if you live with someone for long enough, then you both have to podcast on the same days.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, that's what happens in dorms across the nation.
Yeah, your cycles just line up.
It's true.
But anyway, yeah, we played some video games, and we're gonna power through this because we're setting a challenge. We're throwing down the gauntlet to get this shit done.
Get it done.
Get it done.
This tight format that we have not practiced at all.
No, much like our hero Larry the Cable Guy, we really just want to get her done.
Speaking of Larry the Cable Guy,
hit me with this transition. I'm ready for it. I don't even know where it's going.
How is collecting a bunch of garbage in Fallout 4?
It's okay. It's surprisingly not so great anymore. I'm really close to the end of that game, and Griffin, you'll let me know where you are in a sec. But I feel like the luster's worn off. Like, it's, I feel like, basically, we've already talked about this, so you can go back to the previous episode to see what the issues with this game are. Namely, that any semblance of, like, role-playing has just been stripped out. So, you don't have access to meaningful dialogue options that really alter the course of the story or alter the course of quest lines. My cat is opening a cupboard and closing it to make loud noises. Anyway, so you don't have access to any meaningful dialogue options. Additionally, I kind of discovered as I played the game that character building is equally like a joke. Like, the problem is
very cardboard.
It's very cardboard, and the way the game works is essentially, so you have your special stats, and anyone who's played Fallout knows how that kind of works. They're more or less static. You can alter them, but basically, you choose them. They're a lot more immutable than like stats in Skyrim, for example. Like, you raise your strength in Skyrim or whatever. Or I guess Skyrim just had HP, MP, and whatever else. But previously and earlier Bethesda games, you know, you could raise your core stats in addition to your skills. Well, now skills are out, and you have your core stats in Fallout, which are basically immutable. And I guess they essentially determine what perks you can access. But the problem is all the perks are just like super bland. Like, they're all just like 5% damage bonuses.
Yeah.
None of them really have any flavor to them. And the ones Yeah, go ahead, Griffin.
No, you finish that thought because I was right there with you.
I was going to say the ones that do have flavor just don't matter.
Yeah.
Like, all the persuasion-related ones. Like, there's some interesting ones where it's like you can kind of do like a pseudo-pacifistic run, but there's just no depth there. And also, they're level-gated. So, like, you can't even choose the good perks.
Or the ones that I'm thinking about are like the ones that are kind of like gameplay intrinsic that mm-hmm. if you didn't put points into them, you're missing like a major kind of side ability to do side quests in the game, like
yeah.
doing lockpicking or doing computer stuff
yeah.
or doing any of the weapon modifications. Like unless you have points into them, you're locked out of those that kind of like
I agree,
content that goes hand in hand with the Fallout series.
And I feel like previously, like lockpicking and hacking, I mean, those are always important, you know, things to have if you want to see the whole world. But mm-hmm. I feel like previous Fallout games, at least, would like give you other avenues to get around those issues. Whereas this game, it's just like you're basically an idiot if you don't spec into those. mm-hmm. Like you're just a dumb person. Like also with Gun Nut, like if you don't spec into modifying your weapons, you're basically just a dumb person.
Yeah.
So everyone's going to do it. And because at any given moment, your selection of perks is fairly limited, because everyone's going to wind up around the middle on every attribute, or, you know, give or take, maybe back yeah. a few paces. So everyone's going to basically choose the same things, because at any given level, you don't have that many options. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like you don't really get the means to, like, express yourself as a character, either through your character building or through your dialogue and other choices you make in the world. Like, I'm at the end of the game, and there is kind of one big choice that's coming up, and I guess it's like the only choice you really make in this game that actually shapes the world. Hmm. And it's like it feels just so calculated. Like it's literally like there are four factions and you make a choice, and this is a minor spoiler, but it's so small I don't know why anyone would care. And depending on how you choose, like some of them go away.
Well, it's video games.
Yeah. Like it's like but it's like in the most, it's like the execution on this is so, it's like that's it. It's like
yeah.
you get to the end of the game and they're like, okay, which factions do you want to get rid of? That's basically it. So the luster's worn off for me quite a bit. I love Bethesda games, but I'm a little bit put off by what I've been experiencing. So
me too. I'm not falling for it nearly as hard as I fell for Fallout 3 or even, you know, Elder Scrolls 4 or mm-hmm. even Skyrim for that matter.
Yeah, and I think Skyrim was a step in this direction of kind of just, I hate to say dumbing down because I hate to sound like, you know, I'm a gamer and I like complex, deep experiences, because that's dumb. But, yeah. but like, it really is like taking the things that were fun about these games and stripping out a lot of them. I mean, it's still fun just to like wander around and get lost in the giant world and pick stuff up. But it's not, you can't roleplay anymore. You're just wandering around picking stuff up and killing dudes in hallways.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's a lot else to say about this game, because both of us kind of experienced the same revelation of, like, this game is just not that good in a lot yep. of ways.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I kind of, last podcast, I just kind of played it, and I was kind of down on it, and then I sunk a lot of time into it, kind of was riding this wave of, like, ooh, having a good time running around, you know, mm-hmm. pursuing interesting side stories and meeting a lot of characters that ended up being very shallow. Like the gameplay kind of path would be the same kind of thing every time. Where
yes.
like, you know, clear out this building, then this person wants to be your friend, and that's about it.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, even the quests that had more depth, we were kind of talking about this, you know, outside of the podcast. It's like you get these weird quests where it'll be like, okay, do this incredibly simple thing, and then you go to do it, and one of the characters will be like, by the way, here's this way more interesting thing going on that's totally unrelated to this quest. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do that now.
Yeah.
This happened like at yep. least three times in this game, and it's super weird. There's just a lot of just bizarre writing, I feel like, of the questing. I don't yeah. know if they were phoning it in, but it feels like they were working from the same script for a lot of these things, or the same basic, like, what do you call it? Like, bullet points for each quest.
Yeah, it was like Mad Libs for how to make
yeah. you know, Soul Survivor is going to do noun, but then suddenly noun.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, there's just a lot of issues with that game, and
you know, killed everybody adjective.
Yes, exactly, yeah, everyone got shot. Just everyone. Uh-huh. Every single person.
Totally good dead.
Yeah. Went through a dungeon. So many dungeons in that game.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. few actual, like, people to talk to and have conversations with.
Oh, did you find the Cheers bar?
No, that's okay. pretty cool.
Yeah, I had no idea what I stumbled into. I found a character, and it had like a postman hat, and I was like, I don't know a lot about Cheers, but I know that's a thing. And then I was like, Jen, look at this. And she came over, and she's like, holy crap, like, you can walk through there, and that is this room. You can,
that's cool.
That's the upstairs. Like, this is this room, this is this room. And I'm like, oh, actually, this is pretty sweet. I just have zero appreciation for it.
Yeah, that is it's a weird reference because I feel like most of the people who play this game are going to, that might be lost on them, but it's cool nonetheless.
Very cool.
I liked the reference to the fact that in the Fallout universe, the Red Sox, which cannot be called the Red Sox because MLB, were about to have their first World Series win right before the days, the day the bombs went off, which I thought was pretty hilarious.
Pretty good.
And it's not even like something that is like talked about at all. Like you just go into like a newspaper and you read old articles where they're like all excited about how they're about to win, and you happen to notice it's the day before the bombs go off, which I thought was pretty cute.
That's a good nod.
Yeah, a lot of cute little playing with Boston lore, and that's kind of neat. I appreciate, you know, the landmarks, you know, I appreciate that kind of stuff, the interesting kind of ideas about what could have happened to them. And there, I mean, you can't fault the level design, because there's some really cool, well, maybe you can fault some of it, but you can't fault, like, the interesting landmarks and the interest, like, the ship. Did you go to the robot ship?
Maybe. I haven't fully explored it, but yes, I know what you're saying, and there are, I mean, even like, the big Brotherhood of Steel thing that enters.
Oh, that
into
thing's
the world,
badass!
And it's
like
that is a cool little like set piece moment that you typically don't get in those type of games.
No, so there's a lot of imaginative like world design going on, and that's impressive for such a big game. But I just wish they hadn't stepped back so far from the role playing. You know, the actual like expressing yourself through gameplay.
Right.
That seems to be totally lacking, despite the fact that you're now a character who has a voice, because that matters.
Yeah.
So yeah. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'll probably keep playing that until I hit the final choice and then be done with it. Cause
yeah.
It's just not compelling me like other things could be right now. Speaking of not compelling, I played Just Cause 3.
Oh! you played it? I didn't know that you could do that.
What do you mean, that I could play it or that I could play it and walk away from it?
Just play it at all. I thought you said that it was basically broken when you got it.
No.
Okay, so it works.
It works, yeah. I threw it on my console and started playing.
Okay.
It just was completely uninteresting.
I'm not surprised about that, I suppose. I worry. Yeah, go ahead.
You get, like, all the tools right off from the beginning, the wingsuit, what do you call it, parachute, the grappling gun and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then you get the tether, which is like the coolest thing in the game, where you can link two things together and then make them hit each other.
Kind of the whole Just Cause thing.
Yeah, but, you know, doing it and playing like 2 hours into it and like trying to go into cities and blow things up and just kind of like do the I'm gonna wreck shop here. Mm-hmm. Like I never got kind of the joy that I did out of Just Cause 2, just kind of blowing stuff up and have a big old dumb time with it.
I think the problem with Just Cause in general is, first of all, they're like, there is no progression. Like, yeah, you can earn money and buy new shit if it's anything like Just Cause 2, but like, the game is just like, here's your tools, go have fun.
Yeah, the problem is there is progression in this game.
Oh, really?
It's like, you have to do certain challenges and stuff to upgrade your tether, because your tether will only yank two things together of certain weight at their entry state. So you
That's
need to upgrade
dumb.
It. And then I mean, it's cool because there's progression now, but then you also can't do the things you want to do. Like, I want to tether this helicopter to the ground.
Yeah.
No, it'll just break the tether. Or it's like, I want to, you know, tether this truck to this boat. No, can't do it. They're too strong. But
just
you can tether two dudes together, and that's funny once.
Yeah, I was going to say, Just Cause is not a game that I want to, like, grind in.
No.
You know, like, I don't really want to. Just Cause is a game that I buy on Steam sale, and it's like $10, and I have an amazing afternoon or three with it, and then I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that the best way to approach Just Cause 3 is to buy it on PC and wait until the community mods come out to make it absolutely nonsense fun.
Yeah, yeah. Does it have multiplayer in any form? Is that being hinted at?
Not in a way that I was able to see through what I played, but I have heard that, you know, that's something that is potentially being looked at for the PC, maybe not officially supported.
Oh, so like another kind of, because, well, I mean, isn't multiplayer on Just Cause 2 now like official? Because they like basically were like, here, you can be in our game, modders.
From what I've listened to on podcasts, they were invited into their office, got to play around with the source code, and then said, here's your weekend to do whatever you want, learn whatever you want, take away whatever you want, and now go, because we cannot officially support this.
Oh, for Just Cause 3?
For Just Cause 2.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But I thought that it was, like, incorporated, ultimately. Now it's, like, officially part of the game.
Yeah, and for two, I guess I can't be certain anymore. Mm-hmm. If you're saying that it is officially incorporated, I just know that for three, when they talked about officially making multiplayer a part of it, they said not yet.
Okay,
but we're that's something that they know is
The demand's there.
A real demand.
Yeah, for sure. And that's, I mean, that is, you know, you, any way you look at it, that's pretty cool to see that, you know, modding having that kind of effect on a game is pretty
cool.
But bummer that it's just, it falls so flat. So the wingsuit just doesn't provide the thrills that it promised to.
No. And the other thing that I hear is, like, the more challenges and stuff you do that involve the different equipment, like, the better handling you get, the more hang time you get. Like, it just increases the goof around ability of all your items, and it's like I don't want to do that.
Okay, I mean, well, maybe, I mean, I don't know. I feel like when I first started playing Just Cause 2, you know, for like the 10 hours that I played it, I sucked at the tether, but then I got better at that, you know, like how this whole shebang works. You still there, Griff?
Yep, still here.
Okay, my computer decided to turn itself off for a second, so
I'm glad. Don't do that.
Yeah, it's bad, you know, it's Microsoft. But yeah, I feel like, you know, you suck at it when you start. That's kind of how these things work. I mean, they're weird, kind of convoluted mechanics. But you feel like it maybe went beyond that, or you just are done with Just Cause forever?
It just didn't speak to me. I mean, I messed around with it. Sure, it was fun, but at this point, like, it doesn't really feel like the game that I want to sink. Maybe it's because I'm playing in the middle of Fallout 4 as well, so it's like big open worlds, you know, that's kind of just too much and nothing really compelling me to go forward except for just goof around.
Yeah, so lots of open worlds, like, come on now, I've had enough of this nonsense. Calm down on the open worlds.
Yeah.
Just take a step back, everyone. It's okay. There's other
types of games. Speaking of open worlds, Jeff, I hear you've been playing a little game on the Nintendo Wii U.
Yes, I have, actually. And it's a game that I don't even entirely know how to talk about, but he's referring to Xenoblade Chronicles X, which is the not sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles that has the same name. It's a something. It's basically the same game. It's the same thing. It's the same game, except they made the world a lot bigger, and they took out the story, or they took out the parts of the story that matter.
Is the main character really feeling it in this game?
Okay, so this is actually one really cool thing. Just to give you a taste of the strangeness of this game. So, for the voice actor, so you could, you know, you design your own character in this game, and you get to choose your voice actor. And there's a lot of kind of well-known anime voice actors that you can choose. But one of the voice actors is Shulk, and one of the voice actors is Fiora from Xenoblade. And they're just there being all British and stuff, and apparently they do say, "I'm really feeling it."
Oh boy.
Yeah, which is fine. I'm okay with it. Somebody did do memes. Somebody said, "Do you even lift, bro?" to me. I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah, I did hear some things like that coming out of that game. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of dialogue, and it's like incidental dialogue. Because what will happen is, in order to make this world like manageable, because it's huge, it's a huge freaking world. The town is freaking overwhelming. Like, everything is overwhelming. So what will happen is you'll just run around the town, and there'll be some people who you can talk to who, like, basically don't matter. They can give you quests. But there's some people who you just run by, and they'll like, talk at you while you run by, and the game will show you their dialogue. Kind of like MMOE shit.
Yeah.
And some of that is very meme-heavy, but it's fine. Nothing too gross. At no point was it like, oh, I can't deal with this shit.
So there was nobody who's like, I took an arrow to my knee.
Not yet. It's always possible.
All right, before we go too far down that rabbit hole, I need to know just a little bit about what this game actually is.
Yes, okay. So, basically, if you haven't played Xenoblade, the core kind of conceit of these games is RPG, huge, huge world. So kind of Eastern RPG sensibilities with some Western RPG stuff, like giant open worlds, you know, kind of... I don't know what else. Kind of MMO trappings, I guess. You have like a hot bar with different actions. But the big draw of these games is exploration. So basically, the first Xenoblade was really interesting and novel in its setting, in that it took place on two dead giants. And you could, like, literally, like, in traversing these dead giants, you could, like, see parts of their anatomy, which is crazy. And the worlds were huge. I mean, it was a Wii game, you know, and nobody expects much from the Wii, but these, we're talking massive open worlds, possibly bigger than maybe any other open world game. But also, you know, like, just really fun worlds to explore. Like, they didn't have the density necessarily of, you know, like your Fallout. But they have the vistas, the beautiful vistas, the interesting little places to find. And the game, mm-hmm. The game is almost built around encouraging players to engage with the world in that way. Like, if you find cool places, the game gives you experience points. You know, if you do, like, weird shit in the game, they're like, here, take some points. The game has its own internal achievement system for just, like, fucking around, essentially.
Okay.
And it'll be like, here, you jumped off a really high point. Take some experience points. Why not?
Okay. So very much an MMORPG at this point.
Yeah, sure. I mean, yes. You know, I don't have a lot of experience with MMOs because I mercifully avoided them because I'm not
smart.
Crazy. Yeah. I have other vices that destroy my life. I don't need that one. Uh-huh. So anyway, yeah.
I guess current 3DS count?
I believe I'm at 5. Uh-huh. I believe I am at 5. but anyway, what was I saying? Oh yeah, so I guess a lot of MMO trappings because I don't know any better. But the first game was like also a linear single player RPG. So it was like a linear single player RPG with MMO stuff. And it has interesting combat, which I'm sure is very MMO. You have the hotbar, positioning around the enemy matters. So like side attacks matter, back attacks matter. There's a rudimentary like break and topple system which you can utilize to do damage. Some people harp on the combat, some people absolutely love it. I'm in the camp of really enjoying it. I think it's, people don't like that you have like an auto attack and stuff, and you don't control your other characters, but okay. I think it's definitely strategic enough.
And you can't do like the Final Fantasy 12 gambit stuff where you kind of set them up to act under certain situations.
Another thing about these games, and especially this game, you can just like change everything. You can customize the shit out of every little element of this game. So much so that I'm pretty sure the creator of the game was intended for you to just ignore whole like sections of customizability. Because the game will be like, okay, so you can customize your character's attacks, you can level up their individual attacks, you can level up their skills, you can also level up your field skills, you can also change your like equipments, and you can also put gems into your slots in your equipments, and you can also modify your equipments to give them more stats, and you can also like change your battle voices and like change the shit you say and the effects it has in the battle. It's just basically, if you want to go down that rabbit hole, you can, and it is deep. It is very, very deep. I don't really want to, but it doesn't matter because the core of the game is just running around exploring amazingly designed, interesting, like beautiful worlds, and enjoying that, and fighting awesome, like crazy creatures that are gigantic and interestingly designed, and like it's cool in this game because you'll just be like walking around and you're like fighting, you know, level 5 dudes, and then like there's just a giant dinosaur walking through the level, and he's like level 92 and he has a cool name, and you can fight him if you want and you'll die immediately. But you can like
and
come back later.
You find out you're playing No Man's Sky. It's been out the entire time. We just didn't know.
I mean, some of the creature design reminds me a little bit of No Man's Sky, to be honest. But yeah, like it reminds me of FF12 in that you go in the area, you're wandering around, and then there's like, oh, there's a giant T-Rex, and he'll fuck your shit up right now, but maybe later you can come back and stomp him, and that's cool. And another cool thing about this game is that, in this particular entry, it's even more freeform than its prequel or spiritual prequel thingy-jiggy. In that you can basically just go anywhere at any time. So, like, you have 5 worlds, and they're all kind of themed a little differently. And you can, once you've done, like,
they're
the
like Contra levels. It's like heat world, cold world,
pretty much, yeah.
World,
pretty much,
water,
yeah.
Land.
Yeah, but they're beautiful.
Water world was already taken.
Yeah, but they're beautiful, and, you know, each of them have their quirks. You know, they have different unique vegetation, different unique creatures. And after you do like the first quest, you can just go there. But this game, so I again, you know, I'm kind of rambling about it because it's a huge game with so much stuff going on. But it's a really weird game, and it's like it's weird in ways that I can't even fully articulate. For example, the music is just beyond bizarre. Like it's the strangest music I've heard in a JRPG or any game in a long time. Like a lot of vocal tracks.
The battle music specifically. I'll put that into this.
Yes, please do. It's got like rapping in it. A lot of them sound like weird like 90s anime tracks. Sometimes there'll just be music that'll come on in a completely tonally dissonant moment, but it's like amazing. It's totally what I want it to be. And there's like all these other weird little things. Like for example, you have a player created character, and with a little backstory in this game, they only decided to go with a player created character somewhat late in development. So they kind of had to retool what was originally going to be like a more tightly designed Japanese style story to kind of one that had some Western choice elements. And the resulting effects of this are like hilarious, because the game will have cutscenes, right? And they'll be going through the cutscene, everyone's talking, and then suddenly, in the middle of the cutscene, people will turn to you and be like, "Hey, rookie, how do you feel about this?" And then the screen will pause on your character, and then turn darker, and a little dialogue choice will come up in the middle of the screen, and you'll have two choices. It's always two choices. Okay. And the two choices are like, there are these weird... So basically, the choices don't matter at all. I guess they might be related to affinity.
Okay.
With other characters, but it doesn't matter.
It's like, whose line is it anyway? The choices don't matter.
It doesn't matter at all. But the choices are hilariously, like, overwritten. So it'll be like, instead of just like, do you agree or not? Like, yes, no. It'll be like, boast and imply that it was you and your friend that took down the monster. Or, like, you know, share the credit and imply that these other people took down the monster instead. And it's funny because when you click one of these options, your character will either just, like, nod or shake their head. And the reaction will be so not important at all. Some of it'll be like, "Oh man," and then we'll just go back to talking again.
Excellent.
It's so good. It's like, it's a game that is like, it's funny in the ways that it is so like odd and dissonant without it. I don't think it intended to be, but it almost makes it a better game for it. It allows you to look past the fact that the game has flaws. Like, the game is not, the story is kind of boring, and it doesn't have the same kind of energy and vibe that Xenoblade had, because there's no driving action. It's just like, okay, Oh, hey, let's go out and explore the world. But I feel like when I do engage with the story quests, like, they're just like so stupid that I'm like, yes, this is perfect.
Sure. Last question that I have for you about Xenoblade Chronicles X is, how are the Skells?
There's been a lot of talk about the Skells, but I have not been able to get them yet. I guess you don't get them until a later chapter.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, it's kind of a bummer. The game kind of metes out information a little bit slowly, but I feel like it's almost necessary because it is seriously overwhelming. And without this kind of slow trickle of information, it would not work as well. And I think that also getting the Skells late makes you kind of appreciate, will make you appreciate, you know, kind of the added traversal benefits.
Sure.
You know, even though running around on foot is like amazingly fun, and like even just the act of jumping in this world is like way more fun than it should be, just like jumping onto like weird shit that you shouldn't be able to get onto. I think that getting the scale and transitioning from just running around the world to flying around the world is going to be crazy.
It's going to have that like airship feel of like an old Final Fantasy of like, oh, it's all open to me now.
Yes, and I've already found areas that I like can't traverse just because they're too steep or something, or they're too high up. So I'm really excited to kind of just go up there and see what's going on, even if it's just like a random monster dude. And that's the thing. Your rewards are never like, oh, I got this sick treasure. It'll just be like, oh, you found a cool vista. Or like, oh, you found an interesting monster with a name.
10 experience.
Yeah, but you know, I'm kind of down talking it a little there, but it really is quite fun. Sure. One, just before I finish on this game, one concern that I do have is I think that I've already noticed that after completing the most basic tutorial quest, in order to further the story, you like have to explore the world, which I'm okay with in a sense because that's kind of the whole point of the game. But for somebody who just wants to like critical path this game, the game doesn't let you do that. You have to like dick around in the world and like do quests and stuff in order to unlock further story quests. So you can't just play the story. You have to engage with what the game wants you to do.
Interesting. So it kind of has that like Western Grand Theft Auto feel where it's like, you gotta build up your affinity with this gang before you unlock the next mission for Rodrigo.
Yes, but it's like, it's also like incredibly stupid and bizarre and Xenobladey because it'll be like, you have to have charted 15.7% of the first world.
Okay. Yeah.
And you're like, okay, sure, why not? I guess.
Yeah. So that's where the Japanese side of it is. Where
yeah.
You need to get your license.
Yeah, you need to level up. But it's a cool game. There's just so much shit going on, and it is beautiful. It's a staggering technical accomplishment on the Wii U. And
I have heard that multiple times, so that, I mean, that makes me at least want to pick it up and maybe do like a late at the end of the year or kind of January of 16
play
of it and just kind of have a few hours at it to see just what makes it so beautiful. Because I, honestly, I don't really have a lot of interest in playing it, especially with the scales being so far off.
I know,
But I do want to see that just for the technical side of it.
Yeah, and I will say that traversing the world, like I said before, even on foot, is still very fun. And you can run really fast. Also, you have fast travel basically all the time. So it's no big deal. Yeah.
That's good.
So, yeah, I won't spend too long on it because, you know, we're trying to kind of cut it down. But it's a game that I feel like I could just talk about weird little moments in all the time. And it's, I guess it's better for it, even though it's, like, technically probably worse. So, anyway.
Well, speaking of technically worse, I played Mario Tennis Ultra Smash.
Oh, no.
Sad.
I've heard that game's bad.
Yep.
What's bad about it? I heard it has, like, no
modes,
right?
I can't really say I'm an authority on Mario Tennis games, since I think the last one that I played was the one on the Game Boy Advance, Mario Tennis, like, World Tour or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Those are the more RPG-y ones, right?
Yeah, and this one definitely cuts all that out, so you just get a menu that's like, play games, play other games. Mm-hmm. And I guess the innovation in this game is the two things in Ultra Smash, so if you time your like, big overhead tennis man whack
purple
you can the have like a one? Super what's that
the purple one
the purple
they one. Don't have blue red and purple shots
I don't dude see I don't even know
all right, all right fine
into
go
at
on.
That level
go on
this one I think was pink if that means anything
sure it's probably the purple one
and the purple one sure and I didn't get it. Like, in matches that I'd be playing against a computer, even on, like, very hard AI settings, it's like, they did 15 Ultra Smashes, and I did zero, but I still beat them.
Oh, that's weird.
And then it's like, they throw out, the, like, Toad line judges will throw out these gigantic mushrooms, and you get super big, and then it just kind of, it becomes a totally different game. Where
it's a commentary on steroid usage.
It is, except the best part about it is, the AI has no ability to react to body shots, so as long as you just aim, like, dead aim right to the center of them and hit them, they will get hit, lose the point, and then also get morph back down to regular size.
Oh, wow.
Well, so I found a real easy way to cheese the game.
Well, they also say things like, not Luigi time.
Yes.
How much fun is Charles Martinet having in this game?
He was probably having a ball. Actually, he probably wasn't, because they were probably just using the same voice samples that they've been using for him forever.
I don't know,
which
man.
Is real sad.
I think it's different every time, but it just sounds the same, because that man cannot stop babbling in Mario voices.
No, I love him.
You know what I think they do? I think they just sneak microphones into his bathroom just to record all the shit he's going to do for that game.
They just have his entire house bugged, and they put him under arrest for like for 4 days and take away all of his outlets to external communication.
Instagram. No Instagram.
Yeah, nothing. He has nothing. So the only thing he's allowed to do is just have conversations as Mario character.
Dude, I don't think they have to force him to do it. I think it just happens naturally.
I know, but they need to take out all external influences.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's just Charles Martinet like tripping down the stairs and going, ay, 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 ay. yes,
I heard there's no modes in this
beyond
game.
Beyond that, it is
of.
A pretty boring game, and I don't. It does a really bad job of explaining to you how to play Mario Tennis, which is like a weird rock paper scissors battle.
Sort of. Yeah.
I can't even describe to you. And as a person who enjoys tennis and understands how tennis works, this game definitely shirks the rules in that aspect.
Yeah, don't understand how sports work if you play a Mario sports game.
Yeah.
That's your first mistake.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I like arcadey tennis games, but this one just, it incorporates things. It like a tooltip will flash up and it'll be like, you should use the topspin shot when somebody hits you with a bending backhand to decrease the velocity of it. And I'm like, well, okay. And then I'll keep that in mind, but then the game is also like prompting you to like do a drop shot now. And
yeah.
But you told me that thing, but then they're also rushing the net, so I should just lob it back to the back line. And what do you want from me?
So I feel like your problems with Mario Tennis are like, you might have that problem with every Mario Tennis game.
I think my problem with Mario Tennis is I cannot play against the AI because it's so dumb.
Yeah, that's certainly true. You know, they're very exploitable.
If I did play against another human being, it might be more interesting. Mm-hmm. Especially because, you know, I'm not very good at video games, but having that and then being able to play with like this interesting tool set that I've only played against AI, it might be actually very interesting. I just didn't have a chance to have that experience.
Yeah. I heard the big complaint about this game is there's like a total dearth of modes. I can't remember exactly what was missing, but I heard there's like a lot of just like glaring omissions. Like you can't really do anything in this game
other than like... I don't know what would be missing or not missing, but there's the big mushroom mode, regular mode without any of like the super advanced technical shots, and then like if you play on different courts, you'll unlock different courts and they'll all have unique properties. So it's like you play on the ice court and you slide around a lot.
I mean, that's been in all Mario Tennis games. I don't know. I mean, clearly it didn't resonate with you, but you're also like not even remotely alone and like completely tearing this game a new asshole. Like it is not supposed to be a good game.
Yeah, so. Which bumps me out because I like Mario Tennis. I like tennis. I wanted to play more of it and like it, but it just didn't have anything to offer for me.
Yeah, well, I feel like it used to be that if you wanted kind of the RPG elements, kind of like the Inazuma 11 style, like, you know, I'm building my character and there's a story.
Yeah.
You used to go
do a quest and get new soccer shoes.
Yeah, you used to go to the handheld for that, but unfortunately with the 3DS version, that was kind of excised from the handheld version as well. So if you want that kind of gameplay, like kind of like the little mini Camelot RPG with the sports gamey stuff, that seems to be missing in action forever now. Because you can never really get those on console.
Right. That's okay, though. I'm okay. So I've sent it back. I'm moving on. My life is... I'm living a life post Mario Tennis Ultra Smash.
Another game that you played on here was apparently also bad, but maybe you feel differently. And I haven't heard a word from you about it. Do you want to tell me about Dragonfin?
I can tell you really quick my impressions, and I'll bring it up later.
Okay.
So, Dragonfin Soup, I guess, became a roguelike, kind of Diablo-style, party light, tactics light, hack and slash.
So, I'm going to just assume it was just a hack and slash and not worry about the rest of those words. Maybe there's loot in it.
There's loot. It's a classic like roguelike in that when you move, they move. When
okay, so it's like a it's like an old
dips,
school
she dips
dungeon crawler type game. Well, it's kind of like Mystery Dungeon, where it's turn based.
Yes, okay. It's turn based, but you can totally ignore the turns and kind of play like very fast paced. I'm gonna just whack. Mm-hmm. But then if you stop, you can
everyone walk else stops too. Yeah,
tile by tile, make moves and plan strategically.
Which I enjoy. I like those kinds of games, actually.
Yeah. I figured this might be something that you would have a better appreciation for. Mm-hmm. My problem with the game is, and I'll get into this later, this was not the game that I was initially interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when this game was first pitched, it was a platformer that was 90% cooking minigames.
And that was not the case at all in the final product, I assume?
It is 90% roguelike, 10% cooking minigames.
Aw, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
I was fascinated when this game was first pitched, because it's like, okay, so what you're going to be doing is you're going to be, like, making recipes. Like, you're going to kill a monster, and it'll kind of be like Monster Hunter, where you're platforming through a level, killing things, collecting their giblets, and then putting them into a stew.
Yeah, or like that part in Dragon's Crown.
And then using like a real life cooking techniques, you will not necessarily like I'm sure watered down to some extent, but like you have to have some knowledge of actual like culinary stuff to make interesting dishes, and like not just collect a recipe and now you can make this thing. It's like combine these things and you know put some cooking panache into it, and you make an interesting souffle. But this was, in fact, none of that.
So, Griffin, are you telling me this is a Kickstarter game that didn't deliver on its initial promises?
This is what's crazy. I'll get into later. I looked up the Kickstarter, and what this was initially pitched as, I swear to God, as this platformer that then turned into 90% cooking game, doesn't exist.
That is a bummer. That's why I didn't like Bioshock Infinite. Well, I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it because that's what
I know. No cooking game in that. Not even an iota of a cooking game.
Aw. Yeah, expectations are important, and it sucks that they went so far away from those. I mean, people also just said it was not good, so it might just be that the parts that you're describing are bad.
It's entirely possible. I was just so jazzed on there being a game that was like,
yeah,
cooking game first, not Cooking Mama style.
Yeah, like, I was gonna say,
well, even that, but then even having like an interesting, like, it's Cooking Mama, but then you have to go farm ingredients. Even that would be a cool thing.
So you want cooking game first, but you want something behind it. Like, you want like Reciteer, basically. Like, you want like, yeah, you're running the item shop, but then sometimes you go and get stuff for the item shop.
Absolutely. Okay. That's exactly what I thought this game was gonna be.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a bummer.
Yep.
Sucks that it didn't deliver on the potential.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
And no first Kickstarter game ever to not do that.
Yep, mark it down.
We had to start the list sometime.
Yeah. That's all I really want to talk about that. Jeff, what did you play?
I played a couple things, many of which are not worth mentioning for more than a few seconds because I really didn't play them for very long. I just wanted to say that I finally bought Persona 4, which I hope makes you happy, Griff.
Yay!
I played part.
You have the best game for the Vita now.
Yes, I played part of the intro. I like met Chie and Black Yukiko. Someone, I don't know what's her name.
Yukiko, yeah.
Yeah, Yukiko,
black-haired lady.
Yeah. Okay, so I appreciate that it's going to be a mystery. I like mysteries. It's about who killed that lady, right?
Is that the whole game, yes, pretty much? That is how it all kicks off.
Okay, yep. All right, yeah. So that's cool. And it's a pretty game, and it's got some cool stuff going on. The voice work feels a little bit wooden. Is that always going to be the case?
Yes, I think so. And just keep in mind, this game came out in like 2007.
It's a PS2 game. It's probably 2008. It's probably audio samples that are like being queued up one after another. You know?
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying like it's not fluid and there's kind of like this hitch before they deliver their line, and especially Yukiko has like a very like hollowness to her.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm not a huge fan of the new Chie voice.
Yeah, they recast her, right?
Yeah,
is she the only one recast?
Teddy has been recast, but he does a fine job with it. The voice actor that does him, he definitely channels that. And Chie isn't bad either. It's just not my Chie.
Not your Chie. Not your precious.
It's not my precious.
But yeah, I haven't made appreciable progress. I haven't actually fought like my first real battle yet. I'm only about an hour in.
Sure.
Because the game, it spends a long time acclimating you to the world, which is great. I could totally see why it's a hit. Like, I could totally see why this game resonated with people. It definitely like goes out of its way to make you feel like you're in, like, you know, rural Japan, and you're getting involved with the culture and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. Mm-hmm. I haven't set aside a block of time to really dig in yet. Also, I set it on hard difficulty. Was that a mistake?
Yes.
Okay. Should I just be putting it on the easiest difficulty possible and just powering through the battles?
I don't think you need... Don't put it on easy, but I just put it on medium. I think all the easy does is gives you, like an easy out for when you die in a dungeon. It'll, like, allow you to replay before you're on or something like that.
It's like and then Fire Emblem casual mode, like, basically.
Yeah. It's not like the enemies have more strategic nature behind them. It's just, like, here is, when you die, a way to kind of jump back in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say play on normal, and it's... It'll be fine.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm excited to go a little further. I also have a hard time with like my OCD stuff because like I did like the first class where the professor's like, hey, meet this loser or whatever. Uh-huh. And I wanted to be like, who are you calling a loser? But I didn't. I was like, I was trying to be polite to be like cool for the ladies.
Yeah.
And I learned later that you could get like a courage point for that. And I was like, oh no, I have to get all the courage points all the time.
Right, but then did you also learn that you have to have a certain level of courage to say that thing?
Oh, do you? Well, this is the first, you know, major choice in the game, so no, I did not know that.
Okay, there's a lot of like dialogue bits that you want to say, but it's like you don't have the
the
skill level in that.
So you
to
need,
say
you
that
need
at
sufficient
that time.
Nads to do it, but they don't tell you until afterwards.
Well, you can try and click on it, but it's like your courage is currently lacking to say that choice.
Which is why I texted you and I was like, does this matter? And you were like, no, don't
no,
worry about
and it.
It
doesn't. It doesn't.
And I'm trying not to like, I don't want to like consult guides and start min-maxing because I know that'll ruin the experience, but it's hard for me.
You don't really need to min-max, I'd say, for it. because you'll have enough time to do the things that you need to do. But what I just, in order to like maintain your sanity as a regular human being playing this 100-hour game, I would highly recommend to you to just pull up like an enemy, like have some fun in a dungeon and then pull up an enemy guide, because one of the biggest time sinks in that game is like battles. And if you're going and fighting a new monster and it's like, okay, now I need to try every element on this monster to see which one they're weak to, and their name and way they physically look has absolutely nothing to do with what their affinity is. Mm-hmm. Like, you can, the battles just become very tedious.
Okay.
They're fun. They're certainly fun, but they can become extremely tedious. So,
maybe hard was a real bad choice.
Well, yeah. Just do yourself a favor and, like, play through a dungeon or two and then, like, whip out a enemy guide that says, this thing is weak to this thing. Mm-hmm. Because it's still going to be a slog. It's still going to be a challenge because they'll dodge it or, you know, something will get up or there'll be a monkey wrench thrown in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, even with all the tactical knowledge on your side, you can still have interesting battles that are happening.
I had another question for you, which I can't remember anymore. Oh man, what was it?
Does Yosuke suck? Yes.
Yosuke is your friend.
Yosuke never stops sucking.
He's the critical hits the NAD guy?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, it wasn't him. Fuck, what was it? I don't know, man. But you know, I'm excited to go a little further. It probably won't happen for a little while, but you know, I remember now. Is Persona fusing impossible?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Because when I played Persona 3, I got up to Persona fusing, and I was like, forget it. I don't understand this.
Persona 4, the fusion system was, it was obscure. You would have to do a lot of like trial and error. So you'd like smash three cards together and then go almost through the fusion and see what it would result in, and then you'd be like, oh, I don't like that. And then you try another set, and you're like, okay, this is what I get from this. Golden, Persona 4 Golden, the Golden, or whatever, it gives you, like, a very quick hit chart for, like, okay, this is the thing that I want to make. These are the cards that I have access to. Like, it streamlines it immensely. And then it also does a really nice thing where when you mash a couple Personas together, you'll get, like, the chance to, like, some things are inherent to a persona, and then other things you carry on from the old personas.
Okay, so it's like together. A breeding system, basically.
Right, and what was difficult with 4 was that was random. In this, you select them.
Oh, awesome. Okay, so it sounds like it's streamlined a lot to make it less, like, obtuse and inaccessible.
It's a lot less save scummy. Like, you're not resetting your thing because you're like, oh, my God, I just got three of the same spell or something like
that. Okay, great. That's super great. Okay, I'm glad to hear that. All right, that makes me more excited to push further. It's just going to be a while because I want to focus on finishing the new for now. But I just wanted to mention that I had it. Another thing that I have and I've played like 10 minutes of, but it looks charming, is Legend of Heroes, Trails in the Sky, which people have been talking about is like a really... I've heard of so much... Ever since I got a Vita, I feel like people were talking about, hey, you should get this PSP game for it because it's really good and nobody played it. And it's supposed to be real good, and it's a JRPG, and it's charming, but I'm not ready to talk about it yet, but I just wanted to mention that I have it.
This is the unfortunately titled Tits game, right?
Yes, it's Legends of Heroes Tits, yes.
Yeah.
First chapter.
Oh, good.
Tits first chapter.
The big,
It's supposed to be, I can't speak to, you know, everything that people love about it, because I don't know a lot, but I guess the characters are really charming, the world is maybe not so interesting, I don't know, but a lot of interesting character development, like good classic-style JRPG, so.
Atlas game, right?
No, Falcom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The
East or whatever series, they have very devoted fans, as I understand. One last thing that I played. Nintendo Badge Arcade. Griffin,
I played that too.
Oh my god, isn't it the most surreal game of all time?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's really good!
Yep.
That was so... Okay, Nintendo Badge Arcade is like Nintendo's like kind of scummiest free-to-play game that they put
out
on the 3DS, but it is like so... They're so secure in the knowledge that this game is just like the worst, and they just like relish in it.
This is Nintendo made pachinko, and you will love it.
You will love every second. I haven't spent any... I'm never going to spend money on this game, but it's so weird. Like, the characters will be like... you need to give me money. And then you have two choices. It'll be like, real money? Or like, why? And then you say why, and he's like, listen, buddy, I'm poor. I need you to give me money so I can give you more shit, or else we're
that
not doing this anymore.
That Deals Rabbit could be one of the coolest characters of this year.
The rabbit's so weird. Did you go on the swap note day? That might have been my favorite.
I have played it twice.
Okay, I've only played it a few times as well, but I went on the swap note day. They were like giving out, because they give out different badges every day. Basically, so you play the game. It's like a catcher style game, and you can pay. You get like a certain number of free plays, and then you
like
can,
the coin doors that you play at the local
exactly
circus carnival
except
fair, whatever.
Not as
Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, not as stacked against you as those, but similar idea. Like it, actually, like skill instead of complete randomness. Well, maybe a little bit of both. Okay, but anyway. You get 5 free plays, and then they want you to pay after that. But you can get free plays through other means. You can get them by training and stuff and doing other stuff. But the game is so weird. Every time you go to the shop, the rabbit interacts with you. And on one day, he was like, hey, check out this picture I drew. And it's like a terrible picture. And he's like, what do you think of it? And I was like, it's terrible. And he's like, nah, you're just joking. It's so good. Oh, I love this game. What experiences have you had, Griffin?
Nothing quite as surreal as you did. Only in that I was just kind of initially amazed by it, where I was like,
it's brazen.
Wow. It's like, well, you've exhausted your free plays for the day. Why don't you pay some money? And I'm like, no, I'm good. And they're like, you can practice if you want. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And then it's like, hey, good job practicing. You get 2 more plays. I'm like, what? Like, I was like, they're like, you did so well in the practice, you can do it for actual prizes. So, and then it's like, oh wait, you can actually go to any of the levels, not just the one you practiced. And
they're
like,
so weird,
completely bizarre.
They have like bombs. You can drop bombs, and you can like swing hammers to make. So when you get the badges, you can use them to decorate your home screen. Is the thing we haven't mentioned yet. But it is just a weird freaking game.
The most uninteresting portion of the game.
The home screen decoration part?
Yeah.
I've used them just because folders are so nondescript as it is, so I just throw them on there. But yeah, no, I guess I'm amazed by how brazen it is.
Jeff, my I will only and always have the free Sonic background on my 3DS, and that will live there in permanence.
Griffin, can I tell you a secret? I bought the Slowpoke theme.
That's fine.
I felt bad about it because I should not spend any money on a theme.
Oh, whatever, man. Those things are, I mean, they're good. I'm just
they're
saying
right.
that
they're really
I
not
will always shame my 3DS into having the worst free background ever.
You also have no
Sonic Blast.
You have no folders, right?
No, I don't have any folders.
You're anti-folder, yeah. I mean, they are like the worst folders ever, but also it's really highly inconvenient to organize like 100 titles.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of stuff there, so I don't mind.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just a weird ass game, and I wanted to mention it because it's really going to fly under people's radars. But it basically Nintendo forces it on you because they're like, hey, check it out. You want to download this game? You should. Like the moment you open your 3DS, they're like, hey, please download Nintendo Badge Arcade.
Why?
Why? Because we need money. God damn it, you motherfucker.
How else are we going to make this weird-ass controller?
Oh, that thing looks freaking bomb, dude. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we'll get to it. Anything else you want to talk about for games?
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, I think I'm good as well.
Okay. Hey, Sports Friend's pretty fun, right?
Yeah, I played it with Jamie when I was out there for your wedding, but it was, it's fun now that I have another controller that I can finally play it here and introduce people to Waggly Dicks and
yes,
Full Riders.
Waggly Dicks are good. I wish Jessica would play it more with me, but she gets mad when I win, so. Even though she wins sometimes. She hates when I win at video games.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Want to crack into some of this news?
Yeah, let's put the intervention aside and get into talking about what's been going on. Do you want to pull out, like, your top 3 from this first section that you have here? Top 3 most interesting things that came out of the video game awards?
I don't think we have that many interesting things from the game awards. Oh, shit, dude, we didn't even mention her story. Fuck.
I I mean, we both played it recently. It's yes. fascinating, and I know that will come up in Game of the Year talk.
Yes, we'll get to it, guys. It's real good. Here's one of the first highlights, speaking of her story. Vivah Seifert, the actor, is probably the best part of the Game Awards.
Only because her last name is Seifert.
Well, that. Also, her first name is Viva, a la Viva Pinata.
Oh, man. That's good. Dang it.
No, but mostly because they forgot to wipe her memory and turn her into a robot before the show started. She did not receive the appropriate programming. Yeah, I'm just going to say the Game Awards was really bad. There were some games announced that looked kind of cool. One of the guys who worked on Gone Home is making a game with a really interesting kind of watercolor aesthetic, kind of impressionist-y watercolor thing going on called Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. I know nothing about it. It sounds highly pretentious, but it looks really good. I mentioned that they name-dropped Albert Einstein in the first minute of the show, so that kind of gives you a sense of what we're dealing with here. I was surprised that they already have story DLC for Rise of the Tomb Raider. It seems awfully soon. Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's there. Really not much else to talk about with that thing.
I wanted to bring up the Shaq coming and talking about Shaq Fu Legend Reborn.
Oh, yeah.
Insofar as that it meshes very nicely with my qualms with Dragonfin Soup.
Uh-huh.
So, Shaq 2... Shaq 2?
Shaq Fu 2?
Yeah, Shaq 2?
Two-lander?
Yeah. was a game that was kickstarted in 2014 successfully.
Oh.
So I'm just kind of scratching my head as to why they're doing this like promotion on the VGAs for this game's coming soon.
I don't know. I guess they wanted to build hype. I heard that it's like not good.
Nah, no doubt.
I missed, that's part of the only part of the show that I kind of missed a little bit of because I ran to the bathroom and their commercial breaks are like 20 seconds long.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just a weird thing that it was like, I was like, oh man, that. And then right alongside of Dragonfin Soup, I'm like, oh Jesus. So like Kickstarter at this point really is just this checkbox where you need to get this done and under your belt.
Yeah.
And then you can move on with your real production for your game.
No, dude, it's not about Kickstarter anymore, though. It's actually about Fig now.
Yeah, well.
That's a big thing that we should probably just touch on.
Yeah, at the very least, I think Fig has more interesting ramifications to it than Kickstarter.
I guess. Here's what I'll say I like about the way Psychonauts 2 is handled. So, okay, obviously Broken Age, you know, you can't get around that. Big disappointment.
Psychonauts 2 was announced.
Psychonauts 2 was announced, yes, at the video game awards.
And then it was on Fig.
And then it was on Fig, yeah. It was like, hey, everyone, Psychonauts 2 is Fig.
Which is like the Tim Schafer, Brian Fargo, like the Kickstarter elites.
Yeah.
New Kickstarter that they made themselves that investors can put money into and then get money out based on the returns from the game.
Yes. And so here's what I like about what I saw with Psychonauts 2. So cute trailer, whatever. It doesn't really matter because, you know, who knows what that represents in relation to the game. Mm-hmm. What I liked about the video on the website, though, if you went and watched it, is they were very upfront about the fact that they were going to need a lot of additional funding. And the fact that they had an external partner. I felt better knowing that they had an external partner, even though they won't say who it is, which is really weird.
It's Notch.
No, he only donates $10,000, dude.
Oh, is that it?
Oh,
well, he can't make a game on that.
He did say that he would pay for Psychonauts 2, didn't he?
Yeah, he went on the record saying he would pay for Psychonauts 2.
Oh. I think he's too busy driving fast cars and living in crazy mansions now, man.
He's too busy eating the walls out of his candy room.
Feeling depressed.
Making fake depressed tweets.
Poor guy. Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate the kind of clarity of what they're doing in regard to funding and how they recognize that there is no way they can afford this game for less than a lot of money. So that's kind of good, I guess. I actually don't really like Fig very much. It feels
that's
gross. But
I mean, you have no reason to like it or dislike it at this moment because it hasn't, you know, done anything yet.
You're right.
It is in that same, like, crowdfunding hemisphere of video game promotion at the moment.
To me,
it's kind of grody.
To me, it's even, like, crazier than Kickstarter because it's, like, the idea that you expect to get money back from this project, even though they're upfront about what it would take for you to get money back, to me, it's, like, going to create even more unrealistic expectations about crowdfunding. You know what I mean? It's, like, it's just going down an even darker path. But maybe it'll make it legitimate. I don't know.
The one thing that I have really liked about it is people who are very excited about Psychonauts 2 in the video games press saying, "Oh yeah, I'm backing at the game, but I'm not backing it as and getting money out of it. I'm just backing it." So I'm really liking this like new. My credibility is constantly under fire because I have to couch that statement with like, I'm not intrinsically tied to this video game.
That is a great way to enjoy Fig.
Yeah, I'm liking it from that aspect.
Can I also just add, totally unrelated to Fig, can Telltale like stop announcing games now? I'm kind of like, I'm ready for them to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Like they could just stop forever.
Yeah.
I'm of course referring to Telltale Batman, Telltale Walking Dead, Michonne? I don't know.
Yeah, Michonne.
There's probably another Telltale game in there.
Telltale game, the VGAs next year.
Yes,
Telltale VGAs. Making the VGAs next.
They did a Tales from the Borderlands thing. But you said that's good, so maybe I'm hating on Telltale too much.
It is easy to hate when there is no respite.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's not so much that their output is necessarily all bad, because it's not. It's just calm down already. Take a break, retool your engine a little bit, and then come back with something that looks different.
Yeah, I mean, there hasn't really been a Telltale game that I played and disliked.
Mm-hmm.
Like I liked Wolf Among Us, you know, The Walking Dead. For even though I was like very against it when it came out, I do appreciate what it was doing for it at the time.
Yeah,
I just didn't think that it was like this upheaval of the landscape of video games like most other people were.
No, I mean, it kind of turned eyes back to a genre that had been neglected.
Right? Can an episodic video game be game of the year? and you know, I appreciate Tales of Borderlands. I've always liked Sam & Max. Like, the studio has a lot of really good stuff going for it.
Yeah, no, you're
but
not
then
wrong.
It also has a lot of like flops, like the Jurassic Park game and Back to the Future, and Walking Dead 1.5 and 2.
Yeah, somebody needs to take away all those darts and just let them like leave the ones they have on the board and just be done. Just stop throwing them. They're keep missing sometimes, or you know, occasionally they'll miss, but just give it a rest. It's getting too crowded.
Yeah,
too many darts
on
that board.
I don't know. Here's a crazy idea. Maybe make one that's more than 5 episodes.
Yeah, right? No, they're gonna make them like 3 episodes or less now. Isn't one episode? Isn't Michonne like 3 episodes or whatever?
I don't know.
Yeah,
I
can't. It's too much. Yeah, but Griffin, hey, you want to talk about the Kojima thing? Because I kind of forgot about that for a second. That's kind of the big Game Awards thing before we press on, I feel like.
Yeah, that was the big moment there. So every VGAs is marked with a Kojima impactful moment, I would say. And
yes,
this year's was delivered because of his absence.
Yes,
and you know, cut to Jeff Keighley saying, Mr. Kojima cannot be here tonight because he was advised that it would not be in his best interest or something. Like, Konami has... It was a really weird statement. I forget exactly what he said.
Basically,
but
it was like a lawyer told him he could not come here.
Yes. And it wasn't like the crazy thing. The crazy thing was, it's like, unfortunately, Mr. Kojima could not join us tonight because of a conflict. Like, you could leave it open-ended like that. But I think it is insanely brazen to say what was said on that.
Mm-hmm. Just like how it's disappointing and childish.
Yes, and then to follow it up with Jade Raymond giving out the Game of the Year and her just putting MGS on blast with the Kiefer Sutherland thing.
Yeah.
And her going out there and be like, oh, you can't imagine certain games without certain people. Like, imagine Metal Gear Solid without David Hayter.
Did you like my comment about how Sutherland was probably too drunk to care?
He did come out with those sunglasses on.
Yeah, he was already knee-deep in Captain Morgan at that point.
in his defense, he gave a quick speech.
He did.
It did seem somewhat genuine. Like, it wasn't his usual rambling nonsense.
No,
so.
Not at all, no. Were your like Illuminati senses going off when Jade Raymond made that remark, though?
Yeah.
I was like, what is the real story here? Who wanted Kiefer?
Yeah. Right.
Where is David Hayter? What is going on? Who's the real snake?
Yeah, exactly. I think that was like their Canadian blood was at a fever pitch or something like that.
It was so weird, though. Yeah, the whole show is weird. All the references to Kojima Productions, even though that's a studio that doesn't exist anymore. I found quite interesting.
Yep.
Yeah. Very strange. Did you also see how Yoichi Wada, the president, I guess, of Square, was on record basically saying, like, that sucks what happened to Kojima and Konami are dumb. I'm surprised by how brazen people are being.
Yeah, well, it's getting close to the end of his vacation. I think it's fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I mean, my mouth was agape when Keeley, like, spun around in his little Dorito-shaped chair and made that statement about Kojima not being able to attend.
Yes, in his perfectly like, tailored leather jacket.
Oh, my God. It's like one of those things where you... It's like watching a political debate or something like that, and it's like watching like the Scream, the Howard Dean Scream. And you're like, oh, that person did that.
It's like watching Donald Trump say horrible things, and then nothing bad happens. Wait, no.
No, exactly the opposite of that. But
no, you're right. It is that weird moment of like, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is live right now.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was cool that he mentioned it. I mean, I know they're good friends. I can't understand Keeley. He's like a strange black box to me. I don't understand how he like has friends. I didn't know that like robots needed friends.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
the more time that goes on, the more I enjoy Jeff Keeley for what he does. Because I know, you know, years ago, it's easy to hate on him because it's like, oh, he's the Carson Daly of video games journalism.
Yeah.
But the dude's working hard and doing some cool stuff
making
things happen. And though he doesn't really ask, like, the hard questions, you know, this was, like, what was it, 2 years ago when it was like, Reggie comes on stage and is like, and we got Cranky Kong. And it's like, okay, ask him something that's not a softball, Jeff.
You needed Joel McHale to do that one.
Yeah, and this one was like, I felt like this was actually like a really cool moment where it's let's actually blow something up. But the one crazy thing about Jeff Keighley is I recently listened to an interview with him, and he has like the most terrifying, like, if a computer learned how to laugh. Like, he has a very set candor to the way he speaks, mm-hmm. and like a very, very, you know, middle of the range tone.
Yeah.
But then his laugh is like this like computer calculated robot noise that starts earlier than it should and then ends abruptly and is like very derisive.
Here's what I'm going to say about Keeley, and I think you're not wrong that he deserves respect because he has a vision. Like, I think Keeley has a vision. I think that his vision is very singular, though, and I think that his vision is like very like, I don't know what the right word for it is. It's like very basic and like kind of dumb. Like, it's like he really wants his game awards to be a thing in a way that is kind of just like super boring.
Yeah, it's
and he
like
really likes that one Pearl Jam song that they played during the touching Satoru Iwata remembrance, which is completely out of place.
Yeah, that was weird. Jeff Keighley's vision is like doing a podcast in 2015 where you talk for 3 hours about video games.
Wait, that's our vision. No,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. He's a weird dude, but he does. He definitely has passions. He has things that he really cares about. They're just like really weird things. Like really, he really wants there to be like a really staid, unexciting award show for video games that like kind of mimics celebrity award shows.
Yeah, he wants an Oscars.
Yeah, it's weird, but you know. You're right. He does get a lot of unfair hate. I don't think anyone like really, really like loathes the man. I think he's just kind of a joke for a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think that it was a better show than last year.
You think so?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep.
I mean, you didn't have like what was it, Sean? Wait, who's the
Lawyer
No
Squad?
Man's Sky?
Oh, Sean Murray.
Sean Murray, like, humming and hawing up there and showing off this game that will never actually come out, as I've already stated. But it did, I think...
It'll be a roguelike, Griffin.
It'll be a what?
It'll be a roguelike with 10% cooking games.
It'll be 10% exploration, 90% building Minecraft crap.
Yep, go on, sorry.
I was just going to say, I think compared to last year, it had like a better flow, you know, not having Joe McHale there doing like the co-host, mm-hmm. like, I'm going to make fun of video games sort of thing, mm-hmm. it was refreshing. It was nice to kind of take that step towards a real award show.
I guess. For me, it just felt really, it was really boring. I felt like it was streamlined a little bit too much, to the point that, like I said, everyone just kind of felt like they were an automaton. And the only moments of humanity came when Viva Seyfried came up.
No, the best moment was when Shaq had to bend down really far to speak into the microphone.
That was okay.
The microphone and stuff. Even if it was scripted.
Yeah, it felt very like, hey, here's your gift, guys. Here's the gift.
Yeah.
Here it is.
It was delightful. It was delightful.
It was cute. It was very cute. But on the whole, I was not blown away. But I guess some people did, in fact, like it. And I respect that it is maybe more like legitimate, but also it was just more boring for me, so I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to hold this up too much.
Also, just one last thing. I think that the trending gamer, glad that Greg Miller got it, and then glad that he gave like a real heart-filled like Greg Miller speech. So mm-hmm. That was real nice.
I felt a little bad for Total Biscuit, who is apparently maybe a dick, because he is dying of cancer. It's kind of a bummer to get snubbed when you might not even have a year to live.
Well, you know what? Greg Miller beat cancer, so that makes him better.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 years ago,
he beat it with no continues.
He did. Let's just get really offensive up in here. He one-shot no-scoped at that cancer.
I did not actually realize that. So apparently the field was crowded with cancer survivors and or battlers.
Yeah, I guess the only way to actually be like a prominent YouTube Patreon star in the video games world is to have some horrible death door disease.
Or be really handsome. Like, really, really handsome.
Oh, yeah, like PewDiePie. Like Sean Layden.
Yeah, Sean Layden. I don't know why you don't like him. We can talk more about him for PSX. His beard is maturing, man. He's like embracing the... I don't know if it's dad style or if it's something else, but he's turning into like... that beard, man. That's all I have to say, that beard.
Eventually, he will just become Joel from The Last of Us.
He will. He's got just the right amount of gut.
He's wearing enough tight t-shirts to
shirt
like, pull
so
it in.
Ill-fitting.
All right, let's talk about the PS at the PlayStation experience.
All right. Hey, that intro was really bad. I hate when they say gamers in that way.
Yeah.
Oh, it made me so annoyed.
Yep.
Let's talk about that. What do you think about those dialogue options in Uncharted 4?
My first thought was, I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yep.
Second thought was, why would you not say I killed a bunch of Nazi zombies or there was these weird Yeti blue dudes who were high on weird Temple of Doom goo that were unkillable?
I think
that dude actually was magic.
I think they're trying to kind of have their cake, and they're trying to do the Indiana Jones thing of like the supernatural elements show up, but they're only allowed to be in the third act. You know what I mean? Like, they can't be earlier. They can be alluded to in hushed voices, but they only show up late.
The best synopsis of this was, maybe Nathan Drake is just making everything up, and none of these games ever actually happened.
I know, right? It's just him having dreams. He's been working in that tax office or whatever his entire life. I thought it was kind of
Uncharted 4 is just going to be Papers, Please.
I thought it was kind of cool that they showed a trailer with no action. That's nice. Nice way to start the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess the main course in terms of upcoming games though is probably FF7 remake.
Yep.
Yeah, they showed that. It looked real good.
Yeah, it did look real good. They came on stage and showed that thing off, and it was a real ass functioning game.
It was.
Took me by surprise.
I think what surprised me the most was that the characters didn't look like stupid like their Advent Children characters did. Like, they didn't look like over-designed soulless monsters or like models, essentially. They looked like normal dudes. They looked kind of anime and kind of like they're dumb. Like, Wedge looked dumb.
Yep.
Barrett looked kind of dumb.
Everybody looked pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But they all looked dumb in a nice, new, refreshing way.
Yes. I felt like the vibe was there. I was really impressed that they seemed to get the vibe.
They went for like the Derelict angle of model.
I just think that they actually got it. They were like, okay, this is what's good about this, and we're gonna take that and extrapolate that into 3D. And I was actually really, really impressed with what I saw. I was super excited, and I put lots of exclamation points in there.
Yeah, they took the what looks to be the Final Fantasy 15 battle system and whole way that game plays and put it into around Final Fantasy 7 remake.
Yeah, and it hopefully, and they've been pretty cagey about describing it. They're like, well, it's not real time, it's not turn based. Maybe it's both, maybe it's neither.
It's Kingdom Hearts, is what it is.
Yeah, it's Kingdom Hearts, but hopefully it'll still retain enough. I guess in watching it, I was like, you know what? I have faith in this. There looks to be ATB bars, kind of.
Doesn't matter. It's a different system now.
I guess I wanted to share enough DNA. Like, I feel like my go-to metric for remade RPGs is the Final Fantasy IV DS remake, which shares a lot of common elements, but has a lot of significant departures, and I actually love that battle system. So I think it looks like they nailed it. Everything looks like they nailed it, basically.
It looks really good, and like I said, I was blown away by the fact that they had real game footage of this thing, of somebody playing a thing that looks like it was being played. I was very impressed by that.
Well, you know why, though? Unreal Engine 4, probably. They don't have to spend 3 years developing an engine.
I've heard that, and that is a different engine from the Final Fantasy 15 engine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there has to be some parity between both of those things, because just the way that Cloud is moving around is very reminiscent of the way that Noxus was moving around in 15 and those things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there may be some shared code, for sure.
Absolutely. And okay, well, here's the one thing that stuck with me is everything that was shown was just all train ride-esque.
Yes.
Like, all around that.
You made the most prescient comment of all time, Griffin.
Yeah, no. I my cynical joke actually came true.
Yeah, that night Griffin was like, enjoy playing part one of Final Fantasy VII. And then you called me that night.
I called you the next day when the news came out that Square made a secret press release that said, we were happy to show off Final Fantasy VII Remake or Final Fantasy VII R, and this game is going to be for debuting on PlayStation 4, doing all these amazing things, pushing graphics forward, and then enjoy playing the multi-part adventure of Final Fantasy VII.
To which the internet collectively, what?
Yes,
I feel like it was a super bait and switch. Just like, look at this beautiful gameplay where we've actually kind of realized what this game's about. Also, you're not getting it in one piece.
No. And you know what? I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that is for the best.
Here's what I will say: they've been doing a lot of damage control. And I don't want to spend forever on this because I know we're kind of really working to get this thing trimmed. They've been doing a lot of damage control, and they've gone on record and they've said some things that kind of make it feel a little better. First of all, they've said that each of these parts are going to be "quote unquote" full game length. So I don't think it doesn't sound like a crass like monetization scheme. It's not like episode one is like, okay, you go through sector 7 slum, then you go through sector 8. It's like it sounds like they're going to fit as much as they can or try to break it up in a way that makes sense.
Yes.
Which is good. I'm happy about that. And they've been saying the right things. I guess they've kind of said, like, look, this has always been the case. Like, we're not going to be able to do this. We can't realize the level of density and depth. The things that do irk me, though, two things, real quick. Number one, they said, we don't want this game to just be, like, a nostalgia trip. I object. And I'll tell you why. Because they are not good at making games anymore. If they're better, they're safer taking me on the nostalgia trip because I know that stuff's good. Whereas whatever they're going to work on, I don't know that stuff's good. You know what I mean?
But that's the whole thing. This is why I'm saying like the turning into episode is not a bad thing, because you cannot go on a nostalgia trip. Like, you cannot, this game, unless they just up-res it to like PlayStation 2 style graphics, like, you cannot remake Final Fantasy VII on a budget that exists these days. Like, it's impossible, and that is why. That is why I made that joke. That is why this is like that is why they've gone on record saying like we cannot do this. And in the Famitsu interview, they're like, "Yeah, there's no way we could produce Final Fantasy VII remake with the quality that is demanded by current generation standards on one single thing. By the time they were done with it, you'd have a Final Fantasy 15 problem where you're like, ooh, actually, this one's going to be Final Fantasy 17.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, you're not wrong. I guess I would have probably always taken, like,
I'm not wrong because that's what the developer said.
No, I mean, sorry, I misspoke. Yes, the developers are right. If they want to have, like, an ambitious project, which they clearly want, this is necessary. I maybe represent a minority who probably would have happily accepted like all of those games remade with like slightly up-res textures, you know, I take pre-rendered backgrounds, I take a lot of concessions. You're probably right that most people would not be pleased with that, though. They wouldn't. That wouldn't feel significant enough to them.
Yeah.
I guess my concern is just that when they made the comment about not wanting to go the nostalgia route, I'm worried because FF7 has a lot of additional like mythos that has been built around it, and that is, in my opinion, all the worst. Like, I want that not to touch this game.
Can you give me an example? I don't really follow. What's the additional mythos?
Like Crisis Core and the lore.
Oh, you mean the other sequels that are not mythological but are actually true?
Sorry,
and good
not
games
word,
that surround it.
Yes. Yeah. So all the additional stuff that was made by different people, different teams. That
you mean the better video game, Final Fantasy Crisis Core?
No, it's not a better video game. You're wrong, Griffin. We don't have time for this argument. Anyway, fine. Okay, some people like Crisis Core, some people don't. So the additional projects in the Final Fantasy VII cinematic universe, no, the Final Fantasy VII universe, you know, Advent Children, Crisis Core, that have modified, that stand to modify the base game just by existing. I don't want those to encroach upon the base game. I would rather that this project be given the like Star Wars 7 treatment, where we just pretend some parts of it didn't exist.
Okay, and the way that I took that comment, which is what they expounded upon, and saying like, yeah, we're not going to have the turn-by-turn action combat anymore. The ATB is there, but it's a different thing now. Limit breaks will be there, but they're not going to work the same way they did before. Mm-hmm. Like, we're choosing a different art direction for our characters because they'll look both real and cartoony at the same time.
Like, yeah, and
I think so far, everything that I read in their interview with Famitsu, they are saying good things about what they want from this. The fact that they're partnering with other companies to make it is
good.
Even
it's
better.
Good. No, it's great. And actually, the FF4 DS remake that was co-developed with Matrix, very happy about that. So that's
what is the best thing Square is doing at the moment? Promoting other people's games.
You're not wrong. Yeah, you're very right. I don't know. I guess I just I have a hard time until they show me otherwise. I'm definitely concerned about those things. And you're right, Griff. I mean, you're being a good voice of reason here, kind of saying don't panic, don't flip out. And I'm not there, but I am a little concerned.
God.
What?
My cat is in the rafters walking across the air vents, and I'm afraid he's going to try and walk across a light that is not sufficiently secured.
Oh, God.
So if you hear an explosion, it's just a bunch of light tubes crashing into the ground.
Okay, will you die in this process or
no? No, I won't die, but it's going to be a lot of cleanup later.
Okay, well, hopefully...
Oh, is that dang it. My 13 dead-end drive trap is not going to work this time.
I spent so long creating this mousetrap.
Crisis averted.
So you're right, Griffin. As usual, you are the voice of reason. You counter the emotional with the logical, which is good. I still think it has. There are a lot of ways it could go wrong. But what they did show was great. I mean, what they did show by all accounts made it look like they got it. It's just the stuff that came afterwards definitely creates a lot more potential for things to go wrong. And the other thing I just wanted to touch on that I'm worried about is world map. I'm worried about, because part of I think what made those that era of
they're RPGs just straight up fun, not being one.
Well, not necessarily that. I mean, it could go so many different ways. I'm worried about what happens to the world map. I mean, you know, that moment in every earlier FF game where you get the airship, suddenly the whole world is at your fingertips. That moment, how does that happen in a game that's divided into chunks?
On your iPhone.
On the companion app.
Uh-huh. You get your companion app, which you can use the gyro sensor to tilt and fly your airship around the world.
No. No.
Jeff, it's way too early to think about specifics like that. Like, this game will not be out until 2017 at the earliest. Mm-hmm. Like, there is oodles of them to show to be more skeptical about. Like, you're getting way too paranoid about just little stuff that they've shown at this moment. And even the fact that this game... So when they announced the trailer at E3, this, to me, was like, oh, never going to happen. Never, ever going to happen. Now,
you're like, yeah, it's happening.
Yeah, I'm like, they've proven to me that this will actually be a game because they've shown a game. And I'm in 100% more support of it now than I was before. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know... You have to take the ambitious, like, rose-tinted glasses off and say, give them a chance to do something interesting with this.
I'm going to give them a chance. I was pretty upset when I heard that it was going to be episodic, because I think the messaging from the beginning was a little bit too vague. I think the damage control has been pretty effective, I think. I think that I am back on board. I'm ready to go for the ride and see how things go. This is a developer that has not had the greatest track record as of late. So it's not like being skeptical is a bad thing.
Absolutely not.
But yes, I mean, you're right. I shouldn't fly off the handle, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I have passionate feelings about RPGs, Square RPGs.
Absolutely.
And I want them to be treated with respect, and I always worry if there's a chance they might not be.
Well, you know what? Final Fantasy VII on the PlayStation 1 is still out
there
for you, ready to be played.
It's true.
It's not changing.
You're completely right. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah. And it's a pretty good game.
It's a pretty good game. It hasn't aged as well as some of the others, unfortunately.
Yeah.
See, why can't they do a halfway in between? Okay, I'm just going to shut up now. Just up-res the textures just for me. And just leave everything the same. Pre-rendered backgrounds.
You know,
keep the battle system the same, but make it a little harder.
They'll call it Jeff Edition.
Jeff Edition. Make it hard. Put some more super bosses in there.
Yeah, Final Fantasy VII, make it hard.
I can link to a fanfiction.net thing about that.
Actually, the only improvement they made was they decreased Yuffie's short length by 1 inch.
Oh.
So that was obviously the biggest news that came out of PSX.
That was the biggest news.
Yeah, and the ensuing fallout from it as well. But there are some other interesting things. Like, you know, the Ono bit from Capcom, like still showing that poor man is alive and and still having to sling Street Fighter crap.
The man, he's good at smiling. He's got the most, like, I don't know if there's tears beneath those eyes, but he has the happiest look on his face when he's out there.
He's like a kid in a candy store. It is. That's why I love it when he takes the stage, because it's a dude who is a very rare creature amongst Japanese video game developers, where he just loves to be on stage with an audience.
And
genuinely.
Yeah, and he's not like aloof. He's very like, I'm just one of you guys. I'm just here. I'm a fan. I'm very passionate. I'm having fun. It's cool.
And it's infectious.
It is.
It's very nice.
Yeah, so...
There's a few more middling announcements, some VR things mostly. And then,
that horrible demo.
yeah, that weird demo. I felt bad for that, because that actually looked kind of cool.
It looked fun, but not...
The biggest news for me was Yakuza 0.
That's really cool.
Game coming to the West.
I don't care
about Yakuza 5. Do not care about that.
Yeah, now that there's a next-gen one to look forward to, it's like, oh, I don't have to think about potentially entering Yakuza through an old console at this point. I can actually just play a new one.
Mm-hmm.
And the
Yakuza 0 really speaks to me because it is a prequel to the first game, which I really liked, the first game. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, it is Japan in the 80s. So, like, Yakuza was a man from Japan in the 80s in Japan in the 90s, late 90s, early 2000s.
Early aughts.
And now it is. Yeah, and now it's a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Let's take it back.
It's all 80s these days, man.
Yeah, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, that was a really cool announcement. There's a bunch of, like, cool little bits. I'm really excited to finally play Rez, because I've never played it before.
That seemed to be the biggest... takeaway from the show, like in most outlets, was the Rez announcement. And maybe it's because I didn't have the bodysuit on with 26 different actuators, or also because I just don't really care about Rez. It wasn't really speaking to me. That was my bathroom break moment.
Well, for me, I love rhythm games, which we've established you're not super crazy about. I love weird abstract shit, which we've maybe established you're not super crazy about. So I could see why it's not quite up your alley. For me, it's like, yes, I've been waiting for this game for so long. It's one of the reasons I considered purchasing a 360 at one point.
Oh, sure.
So
for the Kinect-enabled one.
No, I have Child of Eden. It's not only camera. You can do it with controller, too. It's a good game.
But the true way to play it is with white gloves and...
No, I'm not doing
in front
that.
Of your Kinect.
Just like I'm not going to buy Sony VR for Rez. I'm super glad you don't need it.
Yeah.
Big VR push in this show, which, you know, kind of... For someone who doesn't plan to buy it right now, because I'm sure... They've already said it's going to be console price.
Yelp.
Not going to spend $300 on a freaking headset.
No, thanks. I'm not going to be an early adopter of that.
Nope. Really don't want to. I already am an early adopter of terrible Nintendo stuff, so I don't need that. But lots of VR stuff. But most of it was playable without VR. 100-foot Robot was one of the playable without VR games that looked amazing.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Which, basically, that was just giant, like, 80s anime robots, or 90s anime robots, playing golf in cities and destroying buildings while doing so. Also, like...
Oh, yeah.
Evangelion
the implications
parodies.
That game has is incredible in that like minute and a half trailer.
Yes, the music was perfect. The music was so perfect. Good.
Like what you're actually doing in that game, moment to moment, I am fascinated by. Like, are you just golfing? Are you in robot battles? Are you manipulating the landscape in order to get better shots? Why it had that like Ashura's Wrath moment where you tee off from the moon into the earth and the ball is like hitting terminal velocity and getting a comet trail.
It looked good. It looked real good. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and then the obvious Neon Genesis Evangelion parody like really hits home
where
for
they put
me,
the Sony
like,
VR
oh,
in the dog.
God.
Yeah. Also, the Vita was there, which surprised me. I didn't know they were allowed to say that word anymore.
Well, didn't they make a joke about it, too, where they're like, it's for the Vita?
Pretty much. Gio Corsi was on stage, and he was like, and he, like, fumbles in his back pocket, and he's like, and the Vita. Here it is. Everyone's a Vita. Yeah. I'm excited about some remasters of old adventure games, but nobody else cares. Day of the Tentacle. The absolute bare minimum of work was done on that game, but I'm excited for it. Did you play Full Throttle ever, Griffin?
No, I didn't. Neither did I play Day of the Tentacle, and that might actually be the one that I do. The crazy thing that I've heard is, I didn't know this, Day of the Tentacle has a full version of Maniac Mansion
in it
that you can play.
Yes, it does.
So how will that shake out with this?
I mean, who owns Maniac Mansion?
I don't know.
I don't know. You don't need to have played Maniac Mansion at all. I have not played Maniac Mansion. It hasn't aged that well. But
it's got a great intro song. That's really all I know about it.
Day of the Tentacle is really fun, though. I highly recommend it. I also highly recommend
the hamster in the microwave.
Yep,
hamster
in the microwave. I also really love Full Throttle. I'd recommend that, too. But anyway, that's cool.
Things that we've already seen before they showed off, like King of Fighters 14.
Yeah.
Neo.
Neo. Tonight. Yeah. I want everything tonight. For all we know, we might not get tomorrow.
Best part about Neo was that it accidentally took the title. If you searched YouTube after the show for the game that I cared the most about being announced, and you did that search for that game, you were only able to watch the Neo trailer because somebody mislabeled it.
Oh, yeah. No, you mean you weren't? Yes, Ni No Kuni. Yeah, it was the Neo trailer. That's right. I did the same exact thing, Griffin. You could find it elsewhere, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Ni No Kuni 2. Revenant Kingdom, or as I like to call it, Ni No Toonie, is a thing.
No, you need to call it Ni No Kuni 2, and you need to Japanese-ify Revenant Kingdom as much as possible.
I think it's already there.
That was a huge... it wasn't like the biggest surprise in the world, because people have kind of been rumor-mongering about it a lot, but I kind of never... Once it wasn't announced at E3, I was like, okay, this is never happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for both of us that was like, oh my god, dream come true.
Absolutely, yeah. As a lover of Ni No Kuni, I am so happy to see this one. Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't any gameplay shown, was there?
There was not.
Okay.
Are they going to do the monsters again? That's what I'm really wondering.
I've heard that Mr. Drippy is in the game still.
Really?
That ends up happening.
There was a buddy. There was a buddy wandering around who kind of looked like Drippy, but I don't think he was Drippy.
Yeah, and there was I distinctly remember like a yellowy looking critter that was, you know, kind of Pokemon-y looking.
I'd be totally cool with more of the kind of, I know you weren't super jazzed about it. I'd be cool with more of that battle system, maybe with like a few tweaks to make it a little bit better for people who didn't like it. But I like that. I think that's part of that series identity.
That battle system needs to be overhauled, like massively.
I had no problems with it. For me, it worked perfectly the whole game. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, I struggled with it a lot.
What was your issue with it, Griffin? I don't even remember.
The ability to react to moments in the game. So if like a monster was going to do a big attack, I'd need to switch all my monsters out and then have them activate a defense or activate their special thing that would then stagger that monster. And there just wasn't enough time or reactivity to do the things that I wanted to do in terms of a strategy.
But there was literally, you could just push a button and then they would all defend. There was like a defend shortcut.
But I may have monsters that are like attack monsters and I want to switch them out for defense monsters.
I guess so, yeah. I don't know. For me, maybe I was like being proactive enough that it didn't really matter, but
maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, there was a mechanic in there that I felt like I totally wasn't able to utilize, but this is a discussion for another time.
Yeah.
The video that was shown, though, was phenomenal. Like, very much level 5 beauty, and you had initially said, like, the characters have, like, a lot more charm than the previous ones, and I agree.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Little mouse boy and
his little crown, like, that falls down. He's so cute.
Yeah, and you've got, like, Howl's Moving Castle dude there.
Yeah. I really liked how this time we're going to be seeing it mostly from the perspective of a resident, and then the visitor seems to be secondary. At least that's how this first trailer is framing it, which is cool. Yeah. I kind of like that. It'll be really interesting to see how they play with that. Because I did feel that kind of being back in your home world was a bit of a weak point. I'd be okay if they limited that to a pretty strong degree. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very happy that was
super excited about that, yeah. I am excited about Neo too, but fair enough. I am definitely more excited about Ni No Kuni.
Yeah, I mean, Neo looks cool.
It does look cool.
Demon Soul, Dark Souls, but
yeah,
I'll believe it when I get my hands on it. If I actually do it, is it going to turn out to be like what was the ninja game that looked a lot better than it played? Not Onimusha, but
not the one where they had the villain from Team Ninja Games come in.
No, the villain was like, dude has a gun.
Dude has a gun? Shadow the Hedgehog?
No, that was the villain, not the villain to your reality.
It wasn't Yaiba Ninja Gaiden Z.
No, this was an old game.
Okay.
Not Tenchu. Maybe it was Tenchu. I don't remember. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was pretty much it for the show. I mean, there's a lot at the show. But
there was a lot.
The Ratchet and Clank remake looked awesome.
I'm not super excited about those kinds of games because I feel like there's not. It was a beautiful game.
Because they're not as controversial as Final Fantasy VII.
No, I just never really been into the Ratchet series.
No, that's fair enough.
It's just not really grabbed me. It always felt a little bit simplistic for my taste. It's just kind of really like standard, like box standard platformer, like really nothing terribly surprising, but it looked super charming. Like the humor was where it should be. Nice little remaster, reboot, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. And that's only $40, right?
I don't know the price on it, but okay. I think I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked really cool. I just thought it was overall, I mean, you know, without, I don't know if there's other stuff we should talk about here, but it seemed like a nice kind of like show of strength. It's like, hey, look at all this stuff we have. It's quite varied, you know. Maybe not all of it's to your liking, and we're going to spend a long time on VR, but we got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, they did show some cool VR stuff out there, like, was it Modern Zombie Taxi you have written down here? That looked pretty funny.
That looked cute, yeah.
Yeah.
At first, it looked kind of quappy, but I don't think it is.
Yeah, Job Simulator, that I watched a video for that.
Yeah, that looked kind of
quappy. Looks awesome.
Oh, does it actually look good?
Oh, it looks super. It looks like the kind of delight you get when you play Surgeon Simulator for the first time ever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was 15 minutes of good fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
The one kind of weird, unsettling thing about the whole presentation was, where's the first party games?
Mm. Well, they kind of, and this is not how I remember PSX being last year, but they were like, well, actually, PSX has always really been about our smaller games. And I'm like, oh, okay. Interesting that you say that, because I really expected to see larger games here, too.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so that means Call of Duty is a small game.
I know.
Destiny is.
That was everyone's response, but that was the official word was like, well, it's about our smaller titles, obviously.
Yeah, Uncharted. Yeah,
just the little guys, you know.
Peanuts, you know.
Yeah, well, I think the big complaint, if you can launch one against the PS4, is, you know, lack of interesting exclusives.
Mm-hmm.
And this certainly is not going to, you know, eliminate that concern.
Right.
But, I mean, look, you know, Tomb Raider didn't do so hot for Xbox One. Although that's probably a timing issue more than anything else.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so I don't know. I think it was a better show than VGA's.
Oh, God, yes.
It was
fun.
Fine. Yeah.
It was fun and fine. You know, it wasn't like Hype Train or whatever, you know, rolling along. It wasn't the insanity that was E3, even though obviously E3 had some issues as well. But the atmosphere was nice. It just felt it was fun to watch. VGA, like, I had to just endure the end of it. Whereas yeah. this was just like, I was ready to watch the whole thing. I could have watched it another 20 minutes, you know?
Yep.
So, and definitely a couple of great little nuggets, like Ni No Kuni, absolutely huge.
Absolutely, so. Yeah. I mean, and the VG's head there is like, Psychonauts 2 is a big deal for me, but
yeah,
not having really some meat behind it is a little concerning.
I know, yeah. Well, unfortunately, the VGA announcements were really kind of a big flop. I mean, Psychonauts 2 is definitely probably the biggest news for people who are like fans of stuff, mm-hmm. but the announcements were like 60% Telltale, and the rest was all like either really vague or not worth your time, like yeah. Shaq Fu.
Yep. Well, speaking of not worth your time, I think we're almost done with the show.
I think we are. How about that controller for the Wii U? Or for the Wii yep. New?
Yeah, I guess that... Ooh, nice one. That's the the thing we'll go out on here. There was yeah. that patent doc that came out today, mm-hmm. or whatever, when you're listening.
Yeah.
And it clearly shows a touch screen that is, what, interactive?
Yeah, so it's a controller, and the entire face of the controller appears to be a screen. And I've always felt like, what's the point of this? But the use cases in the patent, I thought, were the most interesting part. I loved the on-screen tutorial around the buttons. Did you see that?
Yes.
You weren't super jazzed about that.
Not one bit. I don't give a crap about this.
You don't give a crap about the patent at all?
Right. The most exciting thing the most exciting part of this is the fact that they're going to bring back Gex.
was something resembling Gex on there? It looked like dinosaurs to me.
It was like a big old lizard in the middle of the screen.
You didn't think it was cool, all the interesting use cases? Like, they were showing, like, buttons would get, like, auras around them, or, like, you could have, like, a selection system where the selections would literally be around the button, so you could actually move your stick to one of the selections that would be visually represented by the screen around the button.
You're absolutely right. Like, it has some very cool potential, mm-hmm. but with Nintendo's previous... output. Mm. I have no faith in their ability to design around a touchscreen that will mm-hmm. require that sort of sensitivity. Mm-hmm. So I'll believe it when I see it again. Mm. You know, maybe it comes out at E3 next year or something around that time frame, and I have a little more faith in it. But at the moment, this just looks like some crappy patent that came out of somewhere.
Griffin, you need to surrender yourself to just baseless speculation. Damn it. Just give in to stupid hype that people want you to have.
what was the most recent load of horse crap? Like the NX, the leaked person in Nintendo states that they're going to go into full production by the end of Q2 2016.
I don't know. That guy from the Wall Street Journal keeps putting stuff. I've followed him on Twitter. He keeps putting out stuff.
Yeah.
He knows what's up. I don't know. I'm excited. I mean, look, the Wii U, they did not deliver on its promise. Like, there was really not a lot done to show the value of that. I think, but looking at this patent, I'm, like, excited about Nintendo innovation. Just stupid Nintendo stuff. I know you're not that kind of person. But I like it.
It seems cool. I mean, it has potential, absolutely.
It has potential.
You know.
It's exciting. It's also probably the worst idea, because they shouldn't be doing weird gimmicks. Nobody's going to buy their shit with the weird gimmicks.
Well, keep in mind that controller is going to have the most powerful hardware ever available.
That's true, yeah. Industry leading.
Yeah.
It's going to lead all industry.
All industry.
It's going to beat U.S. Goods. Steel. Yeah, oh, yeah, I was going to say. I don't know. I wonder if, I mean, again, you hate this kind of stuff, but it is interesting that this was filed not by Nintendo, but by, like, five lead engineers from Nintendo. Suggests that they were trying to keep it under the radar a little bit. And it also lines up with a lot of other patents and, like, ideas that have been floating around for quite a while. So there is a little bit of smoke here. There may be a fire soon to follow.
Sure. I grant you that. I'm not going to get overly excited about it because it just, I don't know. It's a crude-ass drawing for a patent. And who knows how real that actually is.
I'm going to get excited because I have 5 3DSs, guys.
Sure, yeah. You've earned it, Jeff. Get as excited as you want. Where's your RFID chip on it? That's How do you connect your amiibo to it?
I don't know, man. The whole thing, man, it is an amiibo, and you can amiibo it. You can double amiibo it, just like that.
Ugh,
game.
Impossible. I guess that there is some really cool potential there. Mm-hmm. Like ending the controller game is kind of what needs to happen. You purchased the Steam controller, and how has that affected your perception on the old peasant controllers of present day?
That controller is the worst. It's super dumb. I never use it ever.
Okay.
But I've always liked Nintendo controllers.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm a goddamn fanboy. I don't know. Whatever. Fine.
Really like the Waggle machine?
I do like the Waggle machine.
It did do some cool stuff. You're right. Nintendo always does cool stuff.
Yeah.
That's undeniable.
They also do lots of stupid stuff. Everything you say is also completely undeniable. And I understand. I can't force you to get excited about this. For me, I'm super excited to look at the stupid pictures they drew and speculate ad nauseum, but there really is no point, because we'll know soon enough. And
yeah, I think the real question is, will you be able to play Puzzle and Dragons on it?
Unprecedented partnership, man.
Uh-huh.
How many of those are they going to have this time?
All of the dragons.
It will be. I mean, God, it's going to be such an uphill climb for those guys. But yeah, it'll be very interesting. It's always exciting to see new hardware, and you know, it seems like we're getting close.
Definitely, yeah. This is like a nice little tease to the end of the season too.
I feel like
you typically don't get a lot of news in December, and
no.
To have this kind of pop out and kind of rabble rouse the masses to think, ooh, something interesting could be happening next year that does align with things they've been saying. Like, eh, it's great, it's exciting.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. So yeah, we can stop talking about the patents.
Forever.
I'm going to send you more patents and tell you that they're fascinating, and you're going to look at them and go, that's okay.
Please, any and all patents, send them my way.
All my dildonic patents, once the U.S. Patent Office finally gets around to them.
Well, on that note, let's end this patent-pended episode of Boss Barrel Radio. I've been Griffin Hoffman.
I've been Jeff Brewer.
All right, and we'll see you in another lunar cycle.
Yep. once the video game ovulation period's over. All right, I'm done.
Yep, you are.
Okay, get me out of here. Cut me off. I can't drink any more root beer. All right, bye.
It's really gone to your head.
All right, dude. See you later.
Yep, bye.
Stuck on a whole different planet. No peace looking at the sky. Trouble's always all around, so we stay quick with the guns and cannons. Standing as long as we can until we get all dolls up. Then call our vets off, we'll blow the guitar. Dealing with lives messed up. Wow.